Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuman and Gimel. We begin right on top. Tan Rabban. You may recall several times throughout the Masechta, the Gemara made reference to the Machlekes, so to speak, between the Tzedukim, who maintained that the Kohen Gadol was meant to prepare the Ketores prior to entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's only meant to enter when the cloud of smoke had already formed. Whereas the Chachamim disagree, they say, you meant to place the Ketores on the Gehalim while already inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And due to this concern that perhaps the Kohen Gadol was planning on following the Tzedukim's procedure, they actually imposed an oath on him, the Umashbiya him, to ensure that he follows the proper procedure of the Chachamim. Today we're going to finally learn a brice which will present for us this so-called debate between the Chachamim and the Tzedukim. Tanu Rabbanon, says the Gemara, with a pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois, pasuk Yud Gimel. We learn from here, where is he going to place the Torah on the Eish? Lifnei Hashem. Shelo yisakein mibachutz v'yachnis. He's not meant to prepare the Torah outside, in the Heichal, prior to entering, and then bring it in. No. Al ha'Eish lifnei Hashem. It's an extra pasuk to tell you, you place the Ketores on the Eish when you're ready, all the way inside, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. You see, the Pasuk already said that he's meant to go beyond the Poroiches into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Why the repetition? Lifnei Hashem. That's where he's meant to place the Ketores on the Eish. Shlo yisakin mimachutz v'yachnis. Lo hitzi milubin shal tzedokim. As opposed to the Shita of the Tzedokim, Sho'emrim, who would say, yisakin mimachutz v'yachnis. He's meant to prepare the Torah outside, generate that cloud of smoke, and then bring it in. My Droish, what was the basis of their opinion? The Pasuk says, tell Aaron Achicha, tell Aaron Akain, your brother, he shouldn't come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim at any time. Al Yaveh B'chal Eisel HaKodesh. V'lo Yomos, Ki Be'anon, the Pasuk says. Ki Be'anon Eroa L'Kaparis. Which indicates that the only way he's allowed entry into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is by bringing along an anan with him. Melamed sheyisaken b'chutz v'yachnis. He's meant to prepare it first outside. Generate that anan of Ketores and then come in. Amar lehem chachamim. V'alekver nemar v'nosen sa Ketores alo eish lefnei Hashem. Plus it clearly says he will only spread the Ketores on those coals when he is lifnei Hashem. That supports our opinion. Im kemat hamalayma ki be'anan. So why then does the pasuk say ki be'anan eroa l'kaparis? Melamed shenoysen b'malo oshen. The pasuk simply teaches us something else. Aside from the 11 samimani hakteris, those 11 ingredients, which were included in the kteris recipe, we have something called malo oshen. Another grass, another root, leaf, whatever it was, which would facilitate the proper rising of the ashan. It would make it go straight up and form a sort of mushroom cloud. That's the pasuk of Ki Be'anan. It's not coming to tell you that he's meant to enter with an anan on his hands. Rather, you're meant to bring this type of Ketores, which contains this type of element, which will allow for and facilitate the generation of this type of anon, this type of cloud of smoke. But of course, everything is meant to take place in the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's interesting to note that this was a very deep-rooted debate between the Tzedukim, who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh at all. We don't have the ability to expound on Torah. Our ability is very limited. It's only what's given, Torah Shebichsav, and that's it. We can't contribute, we can't add our effort. Even when it comes to other things as well, Avodah Mitzvahs is useless, it's meaningless, it's valueless. Our preparation, in this case the preparation of Ketores, is valueless. It's meant to be done outside. It's the result that counts. And therefore, they held, you prepare it outside. It doesn't belong in the Makom HaKadusha. Of course, the Chacham disagreed. This is totally untrue. Hashem gives us the ability to expound on Torah, to add our own analysis and insights and observations and halacha l'maaseh. That's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Likewise, when it comes to mitzvahs and avodas Hashem, it's the effort that's the focal point. It's not just about the destination. It's about the journey, and therefore the effort, the tikkun of keteris as well, is meant to be done where? Inside, in the makom avodah, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Continues the Braisa. Now we already had one pasuk as a source for Mala Oshin. The Braisa adds another one. From where do we learn this concept of Nesinas Mala Oshin into the Keteris? Shenema. This is pasuk Yud Gimel. The Kisa Anan Keteris Esakapuris. You meant to bring the Keteris in a manner where it's going to generate an Anan Keteris, a cloud, a mushroom cloud. We learn from here. Holoi nosan ba mala oshan. Pasuk says, you meant to have mala oshan, and it's meant to be hakturis, a full recipe. So if you're missing some element, holoi nosan ba mala oshan, if you're missing that, or you're missing any one of the other 11 ingredients, chayav misa. Because the Gemara soon will ask, why two psukim for the same thing? Two sources for mala oshan, what's the point? The Gemara will answer. So this is the price. Continues the Gemara of a typically. Why does the pasuk have to tell us that misa is an einish upon omitting one of the ingredients, malashon or any of the other samimonim? The typically the koma ayel biri konis. He's entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim without any purpose, empty-handed. For which we already know from a different pasuk that there is misa. The pasuk back in the beginning of Achrei Mois, pasuk Beis, which says, "Al yaveh b'chol esal hakodesh." He can't just come in empty-handed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'lo yamos. So misa is a consequence for coming in b'yarei konis, empty-handed. In this case as well, he's coming in without any purpose. If his keteris is not properly formulated, there's no mitzvah, there's no avodah, just coming in without any reason, there's misa on account of that. Why does the pasuk have to clearly stipulate einish of misa when we're missing some of these samimonim? He's already getting misa due to his entering for no reason. The Gemara provides two answers. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachab Ma'iskina, we're speaking in a case where Kigoin Sheshagag Babia, he was unaware about the severity of entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim empty-handed. Perhaps he knew that it was Aser, he didn't know that it was an Einish of Misa. V'hezid ba'akhtar, but he knew full and well that if you're missing one of the ingredients, you get Misa. So in this case, he won't get Misa on account of coming in Biyari Kanis. So that pasuk is irrelevant. It doesn't apply. Rather, the misa will be as a result of coming in with keteris being makter keteris, which is chaser, which is missing. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu tema hezid bezu bezu. Could even be speaking when he knew full and well what he was doing. He knew that it's aser to come in for no reason. He knew that being makter keteris chasera generates misa. Why then does the pasuk have to give you an Einish Misa for a Keteris Chasera if he already gets Misa upon entering for no reason? We're speaking going to Ayil Shtei Keteris. This fellow was bringing in two portions of Keteris. Achas Shalem and Achas Chasera. One portion was properly formulated with all the ingredients and one was missing an ingredient. For example, they didn't bring Keteris in the morning. Come the afternoon, he brings a double portion. He's walking with two spoons throughout the year. And one of those spoons contains properly formulated keteris, and the other one is missing an ingredient. In this case, Abila Michayev, he's not chayev on account of entering. to Ayil Leishlema, because the fact is he's bringing in a full portion of Torahs. That's not called Biarei Kanes. Ahaktorim Achayiv. But he's Chayiv Misa as a result of being Makter, Torahs, which is incomplete. To come Makter, Torahs Chaser, because the second portion is missing. It's missing an ingredient. So we need two psukim. One Einish Misa, if he should enter empty-handed, Biarei Kanes, for no reason. Another pasuk, for being makter k'teres chasera, and it applies in a case where, for some reason or other, he's not chayiv on account of entering because it so happens that there was a reason and purpose for him entering. Amar, let's go back to that b'raisa and address that kasha. Why do we need to psuk him for mala oshen? Amar, minayin shenoshen bok mala oshen. How do we know that he adds the mala oshen ingredient into the k'teres tamlem v'chisa? We have another pasuk which says, v'chisa, Ananakteris, Zakapuris, he's meant to go ahead and formulate a cloud. And that happens by using Malosh. Krolakra? Why do we need one pasuk to support something which we already learned from another pasuk? Amar Rav Yosef Achika Amar. The Braisa means like this. Ein li ela ole ma'ale oshen. Perhaps only the ole, the leaf of the mala oshem plant is suitable for this purpose. Ikar mala oshem minayin. What about using the root of the mala oshem plant? How do you know that works as well? Even though it's not as effective as a leaf. Tamar lemi v'chisa. Second pasuk is marbe even the root. Amle abayva ifchatani, but we have a brisa which indicates otherwise. The root is actually more effective than the leaf. Tesanya nosen ba ikar mala oshem. The kohen would place the ikar, the root of the mala oshen. What would happen as a result? It would rise up, straight up like a stick. Until the smoke reached the upper portion of the room, up to the ceiling. Once it arrived to the ceiling, it would crawl, would make its way over to the sides. And slowly creep its way down along the sides, along the walls. Ashen is smali habayis oshen, until the whole room filled with smoke. Shenamar habayis yimali oshen. This is a pasuk by the Malachim. Bryce is sort of using it in a poetic sense. We see that there's a point to having the whole room filled with smoke, and that's what happened here. So root is preferred to leaf. Elam habayi hachikama. Rather, this is what the Bryce means to say. Ein li ela ikar mal oshen. Perhaps only the root of the mala oshen plant is meant to be applied, and only that is what works. Ole mala oshen nine. How do we know that we could even use the leaf of the mala oshen plant, although it's not as effective, not as efficient as the root? Tamaloyim abakisa, that's why we have another pasuk to add even the leaf as well. So that's one pshat in the Brais. Rav Sheshes Amar, he proposes another pshat to the Brais. Why do we need two psukim to indicate mala oshen? Ein li ela oil moyeh shebemidbar. Perhaps mala oshen is only mandated in the oil moyeh, in the mishkan, in the midbar. Because that's what the pasuk here was speaking about. Shiloi, what about mishkan shiloi? Ubeis oilomim, what about the beis hamidosh? Minayin. How do we know it there as well? You meant to add mala oshen, tamaloyim arbekisa. That's what the second pasuk is coming to teach. Says, well, you don't need a pasuk for that. Hi, this halacha, mivechein yase, lo il moed hasheichin itam nafka. We learn that from the other pasuk, which says, follow this procedure wherever there's shechina, irrelevant of whether it's mishkan, shiloi, or beis hamikdash. So you don't need a pasuk for that. Ella says, the gemara chikamar. Rav Sheshes says, look, this is what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Ainly ella b'yom kippur, perhaps, mala oshen is only required on yom kippur. That's when you're meant to generate the anon, the mushroom cloud. Bishari Moshe Hashanah Minayin. What about Keteris throughout the rest of the year? Tamlim V'chisa. Second puzzle coming to add that even throughout the year you meant to add Mala Oshen to your Keteris. Rav Ashi Amar, he proposes another pshat to the price. Why two psukim? Chad la mitzvah, chad la akiv. One is coming to tell you it's a mitzvah to add Mala Oshen. The other puzzle is telling you that if it's missing Mala Oshen, it invalidates the entire Keteris. It's considered part and parcel of Ikteris. Now, apparently, Rav Sheshes, the previous pshat, held you don't need a pasuk, a special pasuk to tell you that it's ma'akev. It's pasha that it's ma'akev. Once the Torah considers it as part of Ikteris, once you have to put it into the mix, of course, if it's missing, then that's not called ha'akteris. It's not Ikteris Shlema. Continues with Rava Amar, chad lo einish, chad la azhara. One pasuk is coming to tell you, don't bring the Torah without the malashim. It's a warning. It's an azhara. And Rashi says that's actually pasuk beis. Pasuk which says val yave b'chal eis el hakodesh, right? Ki be'onan eiroa, don't come in without it. That's an azhara. And the other pasuk yud gimel, is the einish. You're missing even Malo'oshim. Not only if you're missing one of the standard 11 Samamonim, there'll be Misa. But even if he's just missing the Malo'oshim, there's an Einish of Misa. We have a riot to Rabbah, Tanya, Rabbah Lezo Emer, Velo Yomos Einish. That's the Pasuk Yud Gimel. If you're missing any of the elements of Torah, even Malo'oshim, Velo Yomos, it's an Einish. Kibe Onenei Ro'a Ashar. The first pasuk, back on pasuk beis, don't come in without the anon, is the azhara, is the warning. And the einish is the misa. Apparently, the other sheet is held, we don't need a special pasuk for einish azhara. Well, it's like any of the other samimanim. Just like the misa applies to akteris chaser, akteris which is missing. Any one of the basic 11 ingredients, the same thing would apply to the Malo'oshim. Once the Torah incorporates it into the Kteris recipe, then there's no difference between one or the other. If you're missing any of those elements, whether it's the basic elements or the Malo'oshim ingredient, it's called Teres Chasera, on which he gets Misa. There's no need for the Torah to add a special warning, etc., for Malo'oshim. So that seems to be the basis of their disagreement, how to apply the psukim. Now, the parsha begins the words Achri Mois, right? Achri Mois Shnei B'nei Aaron. This occurred after two sons of Aaron, Nadav Aviu, passed away. On that day, the Yom Shmini L'Miluim. The Rosh will tell us the reason for them getting Misa on that day, what they do wrong. In any case, the Brisa continues. When is this pasuk referring to? Yochel yushneim amurin koydem misas bnei aron. Perhaps both psukim, the ones that we just mentioned, the pasuk Yud Gimel, which discusses the einish upon omission of the malashin, and pasuk Beis, which provides the warning. Perhaps they're both referring to the time period after the bnei aron already passed away. Sorry, before. Yochel Yushneim Amurin Koida Mises Bnei Aaron. They're both referring to the time period before Aaron's children passed away. And perhaps this will lend to speculation that this was the reason that they actually died. They didn't conform. They missed out the Malo'oshim and their Keteris. Is that the pshat? No, can't be. Talmud Lema Achrei Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron. The parsha begins Achrei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron, and then proceeds into the parsha of Keteris. Apparently, these psukim were not said before their death. Oh, on the other hand, Yochel Yu Shnei Amurim Achar Misa Shnei Aaron. If that's the case, perhaps both psukim, the Einish and the Asura, both said after Misas Shnei Bnei Aaron. So, well, no, can't either be Talmud Leimar. Because in the Pasuk Beis, where we have the Azhara, what does the Pasuk say? Don't come in at any time. Make sure you have the Anan, the Malo'oshim ingredient in your Keteris. Ki be'anan, eiro'e al ha'kapuris. Through the Anan, I'm going to reveal myself to you on the Kapuris. Talmud Lomar ki be'anan, eiro'e al ha'kapuris. Now this had to have happened before Misas Shnei Bnei Aaron, because the Pasuk there tells us that before they died, Vayira, Kvoid Hashem al Kol Am, Vayikra Tes, Hashem revealed himself before they died. So, when the Pasuk is telling you, be careful, follow this procedure to be Zoicha, that I reveal myself to you in a future tense, Apparently this is before the fact. Okay, it says, how do we work this out? Is it before or after? It says, we have to split the psukim. Okay, it said, Azhara koidem isa, pasuk beis, which includes the Azhara, do this so that you will be zeicha to my revelation, was before the Misa Shnei B'nei Aaron, before the Vayera Kvoid Hashem Al-Kalam. But the Einish part, Pasuk Yud Gimel V'Einish, Achar Misa only happened after that Misa. In which case it could not have been the reason for their death, because Misa was not yet presented. My Talmud, how do we know that Pasuk Beis is before the fact? Before Misa Shnei B'nei Aaron, Amar Rava, Amar Kro, look at the Pasuk. Do this so that I reveal myself to you with the Anan. It's referring to a future event. Apparently, Hashem did not reveal himself at that point, as of yet. This must have happened before the story with Bnei Aaron. Okay, so having said that, why did they die? If Hashem hadn't yet presented an Einish of Misa on account of omitting the Malei Ashen, so why did Nadan and Avihu die? Velo my time Anish. What did they do wrong? Why did they get an Anish? Says what you're right. It's unrelated to the Ikteris. Kedisani. Rabbi Lezo Eimer. Loi Meisu B'nei Aaron. Ela al Shehoiru Halacha. Ifnei Meisu Rabban. The reason why they died was because they issued a Psak Halacha in the presence of Meisu Rabbeinu. So even though they were right on, Halacha was correct, but it was a Pagam in his covet that they issued a Psak in front of him. My drosh, what was there? Drosh, what was the halacha? Pasuk says, "V'nosu b'nei Aaron, hakoyin eish al mizbeach." B'nei Aaron meant to add fire to the mizbeach. The question is, there is already fire, heavenly fire, on the mizbeach. Why add? And the answer is, "Afal b'isha eish, yuredes min hashemayim." Even though fire descends from heaven on the mizbeach, mitzvah lahavi min ahedyet. There's a mitzvah to add personal fire as well. So this is a halacha, and it was a accepted halacha, it was true, but they should not have issued this psak halacha in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they were chayiv misa. Tesis actually brings from the Teres Koinim many other versions as to the exact offense of Bnei Aaron. Some say they were drunk, some say they were missing their begadim. According to our Gemara, the avera was because they were moira halacha from Moshe Rabba. And what was the halacha? Even though there's fire coming from Shema, you meant to add your own. And it's a very nice pshat that really applies this concept to us all the time. We know that the Shema is coming from Hashem. Habol atayr misayin oisay. But a person's meant to know. Keep in mind that we have to initiate. It says habol atayr misayin oisay. Even though there's an ish coming down from Shemaim to help a person, to inspire a person, to lift him. But Hashem is waiting for us. You make the first move, and I'll finish it off. So even though it's an Ishmael Shemaim, mitzvah lehavi, I mean, I hate it. Okay, let's summarize this Gemara. So we have two psukim in the beginning of Parshas Achrim Mois. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's go through the psukim step by step. In Pasuk Beis we have Al Yavi B'chaleis LaKodesh, which tells you that Bia Reikonis is Asur. You cannot enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim without any reason. V'layomus, the result of that is Misa. Pasuk continues, Ki be'onan eiroa like a pyrus. You meant to generate a cloud, a properly formulated cloud of smoke by way of using the Malei Ashen plant. And then we have Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'nosan sak teres. Hak teres means teres shleim without missing anything. V'nei Hashem, we learn from this, he meant to prepare it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim as opposed to the Tzdukim, who did it outside. V'chisa anan akteris, again, referring to the Malei Ashen. V'layomus, this is the consequence. V'akteris chasera, or missing Malei Ashen. Now the question was, why two psukim for Malei Ashen? The answer was, fourfold. We had four mahalchim. Either, first pasuk is referring to the ikar, the root. The second pasuk is adding even the leaf of the Malei Ashen. Next pshat was, the first pasuk is Yom Kippur. Next pasuk is throughout the year. Next pshat was, the first pasuk is Lemitzvah. The second pasuk was Le'akiv. And finally, the first pasuk was an Ashara. And the second pasuk was coming to add and include the omission of Malei Ashen in the Einish of Misa. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah tells us, Yotze uboloi derech knisase. On his way out, instead of turning his back to the urn, he would walk out backwards, facing. His face was still facing the urn. Menan immediately, how do we know that's the appropriate way of leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Omar of Shmuel, Bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yemis. Omar Kro, we have a pasuk. Vayavi Shloimai, Laboma, Asher Begivan Yerushalayim. So he approached the Boma, the Mezbeach, which was at that point in Givon. And the pasuk adds the word Yerushalayim. Now, what does that mean? It should have said, he came to the Boma, Asher Begivan, Meir Yerushalayim. He originated in Yerushalayim and headed to Givon. Or it should have said, Asher Begivan, Lir Yerushalayim. Now he went back to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim without any lamed or mem is sort of meaningless. V'chima inyan givoin etz Yerushalayim. Why mention givoin in Yerushalayim? Ela makish yitzi osim yegivoin li Yerushalayim. L'bi osim Yerushalayim l'givoin. There's a chiddush. The pasuk is trying to connect the way he arrived to givoin from Yerushalayim to the way he's going to arrive in Yerushalayim from Givon, so to speak. Meaning, that just as when he arrived to Givon, what was he facing? The Bama. Likewise, when he left Givon toward Yerushalayim, he was still facing the Bama as he was leaving. So he's walking backwards. Again, says the Gemara, Ela Makish, we went to connect. It's the awesome Givon to Yerushalayim. The manner in which he left Givon to go to Yerushalayim was similar. He was positioned in a similar manner. L'bi also Yerushalayim l'givon. In a similar manner to the way he was positioned when he came to Yerushalayim to Givon. So just as when he arrived, he was facing the Mizbeach. Likewise when he left. Ma bi also Yerushalayim l'givon. Just as when he arrived from Yerushalayim to the Mizbeach. Pon of klapi bama k'derech b'yasei. He faced the Mizbeach on the way in. Afitz Yosef Yigivin Yerushalayim. Likewise, when he left toward Yerushalayim, Panav Klapi Bama K'derech B'yasai, he was still facing the Mizbeach Derech Kavod. V'chein Kohanim B'Avodasan. The same thing applied to the Kohanim on the way out of their Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. U'Levim B'Duchonon. And Levim, when they were on the way out of their singing. U'Yisrael B'Mamodon. When Yisrael were leaving their positions after observing the Karbonis. K'shein Iftarn. When they would take leave, they wouldn't turn around and leave. Rather, they would turn a bit sideways and leave in that manner. Derech Kavod. In fact, today when Yidden leave the Kosel Ma'arava, you'll see that all the time. People wouldn't turn around. They walk sort of sideways or backwards. Derech Kavod. Continues the Gemara, V'chein Talmud Hanifta Mirabbi. Likewise, when a Talmud takes leave of his Rebbe, same thing applies. Rather than turn around and leave, he'll turn sideways and leave in that manner. As we find with Rabbi Elazar, when he would take leave of Rabbi Yochanan, when it was Rabbi Yochanan, the Rebbe, who was actually leaving, Rabbi Elazar would bow down, gochen, he would bow, koi, and remain in that position, Rabbi Elazar, aduchte, on his place. So he would remain in bowing position, adavamachs, michsi, Rabbi Yechimnei, until Rabbi Yechimnei was no longer visible to him. V'kadavaboy, Rabbi Elazar was koi, when Rabbi Elazar, the Talmud, was the one taking leave, havaka ozel achor, he would walk backwards, adamichsi, minei, Rabbi Yechimnei, until he was no longer seen by Rabbi Yechimnei. Rava, and Rava would take leave of Rabbi Yosef. Yosef was blind, and Rava was being extra careful. Midas Chassidus, even though his Rebbe wouldn't see him, he would still walk backwards. Hava ozel achiri, he would walk backwards and completely backwards, not sideways, mamish backwards, blindly. Ada menakpan kari is his legs. His legs would be menakpan; they would get bruised. Umetansvan askufta, the askufta, the threshold, the doorway of Rabbi Yosef's home would get mitavson would get stained from the blood of Rabbi's feet. Mitavson askufta de Rabbi Yosef dama, full of blood, because he would be bumping into the walls, and this was a derech chassidus, not just sideways, mamash backwards, but derech kavod to his Rebbe. Homily to Rav Yosef. So they told Rav Yosef, Hachim, Rav, look what Rav your Talmud is doing. He was blind, he didn't notice. They told him, wow, look what kind of kavod your Talmud is doing. Amar lei, so he said, wow, hey Rav, should be the rasan Hashem, the terem reshach, that your head should arise above, akula, karcha, above the entire town. You should become the Rosh HaYeshiva. Rav Chananel says that the halacha should always follow Rava. In fact, we find that whenever there's machlokes abayi v'Rava, one of our Matzias says, v'ilchas agav, say the Rava, except for those six things, the al kigam. And this was due to his humility and tremendous kavod ha-Torah that he displayed. So he was zeicha that kavod ha-Torah would be applied to him as well in very large measure. Omer Alexandri, Omer Shemalev. A similar concept applies at the end of davening, end of Shemoneh Esrei. I'm a spallow. When a person is done davening, he's meant to take three steps back in a bowing position, three steps back, and then offer shalom to Hashem. This was a derech kavod, take leave of Hashem, derech kavod. Why dafka three steps? Many pshatim. Some explain because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he entered the Shechina, it was through three partitions, Choshech, Onan, V'Rafel. When we leave Hashem's abode, so to speak, when we're done Shemoneh Esrei, we sort of come back. We leave all those mechitzes, all those madrigas, and we come back down to the Olam, the Olam HaSiyah. You know, there's four Olam, it's Atzilus, Bri, Atzilus. So it's down, one step, another step, until we come down to this world. So that's the point of stepping back three steps. And then you say Shalom to Hashem. Amalei Rav Mordechai. Once he took those three steps, he's meant to remain in place. Don't go right back. Why? Because that indicates that he really was taking leave of Hashem derech kavod. He wasn't just committing a ritual. Mashal a Talmud hanift merabbi. It's analogous to a Talmud who's taking leave of his Rebbe. Im chayzi la'altav, he just comes back right away. It defeats the purpose. It looks like he was just trying to be yoytze. He wasn't really taking leave of the Rebbe. It's a mashal to a kelev sheshav al kiyay, who re-eats the material that he vomited. So he was vomiting something which wasn't edible, and then he undid that thing by just re-eating it. So he defeated the purpose. Same thing here. You take leave of Hashem, you walk away derech kavod, indicating that you're taking it seriously. This was meeting an audience with Hashem, and now you're taking leave derech kavod. What are you jumping right back, which indicates the whole thing was just a ritual. Tana mihachi, we find likewise in the Braisa, mespalo tzorach shiasiya shalosh psiyas lachayrav, after tefillah one is meant to take three steps back, v'achach yitin shalom, and then say shalom, v'im loy osakein, if he does not do that, roy loy shalosh spalo, better that he doesn't daven, because he didn't take tefillah seriously, to the extent that he really felt close to Hashem, and felt a need to bid farewell to Hashem. Umishum Rav Shmaya Amru. They said the name of Rav Shmaya. Shanoisin Shalom Yemin. First you turn to the Yemin and you say Shalom. I say Shalom Yemin. V'achach Zusma, and then turn to the left. Why the right first? Shanamar Miminoi Eish Das Lome. Pasuk says that Hashem gave the Torah, the Luchas, the Eish Das, using his right hand. So we see right is more important, has more significance. You turn first to the right side. We have another pasuk. Yipol mitzitcha elef, urivava miminecha. 1,000 mazikim, demons will fall away on your left side, and 10,000 on your right. Apparently the right side, the right hand, can tolerate, can combat more than the left. Now, what's the point of adding the next pasuk to make our point? Already proof in the first pasuk that the right hand is more important and the right side is more important. Perhaps the first pasuk doesn't really provide an indicator, because Hashem gave the luchos using his right hand, so to speak. That's because it's urcha de mosa. It's common that a person would use his right hand. It's a stronger hand. So that's right that the right hand is stronger. But how do we know that a man's right side has more chashivas? Not the right hand, the right side of a person. Toshma, That's why we need another pasuk. Yipol mitzitcha alef. Urevava miminecha. So we see that a person's right side is more chashev, has more power to obliterate the 10,000 mazikim. And that's why we turn first to the right, say oseh shalom imramav, and then to the left. Rava chazi l'abaye, diyoyiv shlom alimin abarish. Rava noticed that Abaye was actually turning to his right, and first said shalom to that direction. Omale, he says, you're mistaken. Mi savris alimin didach. Do you think we meant to your right side? No, l'smali dach kamina. What they meant was, you meant to turn to your left side, Davi Yemina Yishal Kodesh Baruch Hu, which corresponds to Hashem's right side. You see, when you're davening to Hashem, you have to view yourself as though you're facing Hashem, Shivis Hashem Negdi Summit, in which case you're turning to the right side of Hashem, which is more chashev. So you turn to your left first, which is the Yemin of Hashem, and then you go over to your right, which is the Smol of Hashem. Now apparently Abaye held that, yeah, that applies when I'm in front of Hashem, but here, he already stepped back 3 steps. He had already bid farewell to Hashem, taken leave of Hashem, in which case, he's no longer, so to speak, viewing himself like standing face to face Hashem. Rather, you're meant to give the right side of oneself, more important than the left. Because the ikar, shechina, or the accompaniment of Hashem, is the ikar on the right hand of a person, the right side of a person. So this is unique to when I'm standing during tefillah and facing Hashem face to face. But apparently once I already step back, that doesn't apply. Rabbi said, no. This is part of the tefillah process. This is the seam of tefillah. You're still meant to view yourself as though standing opposite Hashem, in which case, turn first to the left, which corresponds to Hashem's yamin. Amar b'chi b'rei d'Rav Huna. Chazinu l'abai v'rava. I noticed that Abai v'rava did as follows. The pasi l'hu sholesh p'siyais. They stepped those 3 steps back, b'kriya achas, in one bow, meaning they bow, and then in a bow position, take those 3 steps back, as we do today. We bow, we take 3 steps back, left, right, and then left, and then once we're back, we say, oyseh shalom towards our left, hu yaseh shalom towards the right, okay, shalom towards the middle. Continues the Gemara. U'mespalel tefilok tzor b'isachitzim. After Kohen Gadol was done with the Teres in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, went to the Hechel, and offered a short tefillah. My Masli, what would he say? Rava Barav Ada. The Ravan Barav Ada. They both said, Tarvayu Mishmei Derav Amri. The tefillah was as follows. He was asking for Parnosa of Klal Yisrael. That was on his mind, on Yom Kippur. Yirotzim Afanecha Hashem Lakin. Shedhei Shanadzu Geshuma. It should be a rainy year. Ushchun on a hot year. A sunny year. Says about shchuna, a hot year. Mal Yusei, is that beneficial? Why would he daven for that? Ela'ema, rather as follows: im shchuna, if Hashem, it's meant to be a hot year. Take shum, at least it should be raining, to undo, to counteract the heat. Rav Acha b'rei de Rava, mesayim ba, mishmei de Rav Yehuda. He had a version. The neighbor of Yehuda, where the Kohen Gadol will add a bit more to the tefillah. Well, yadi, it shouldn't move away. Ovid Shultan, rulership, Malchus, should not be taken away mid the base Yehuda, from the home of Yehuda, from the Shevet Yehuda, referring not only to the kings, but also to the heads of the community, in the Golus, the Reish Galusas that we have all over the Gemara. Those are the representatives of the Kehillah, government representatives, and the Reish Galusa as well, should be from Shevet Yehuda, in line with the bracha given to Yehuda by Yaakov Avinu, La Yosef Shevet Ben Yehuda, Mechoykik Ben Raglav. So he asked a tefillah to Hashem that it should remain as such. It's a proper arrangement of Klal Yisrael. So that's number one. V'lo yu amcha Yisrael tzrichem l'farnasa zem mizeh. Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to support each other. Yidden should be self-sustainable. V'lo tekanes l'fanecha tefillas over drachem. And those travelers who daven to you, Hashem, stop the rain, it's uncomfortable, don't listen to them. So this tefillah was meant to override their tefillah. Klal Yisrael needs rain, don't listen to the wayfarers. That's interesting. Why would Hashem listen to them? A the expense of the rest of the Yisrael, the farmers. So beautiful word that the Baal Musa say. The Oyved Derech, the one on the road stuck in a rainstorm, his tefillah is truly heartfelt. It's out of desperation. It's totally out of dependence on Hashem. It's a true tefillah from the depth of his heart. So that tefillah can have more power and override, supersede all the needs of the farmers of Yisrael, and therefore there needed to be a special tefillah for that. Hashem, don't listen to the Oyved Derech when they daven. But it didn't work all the time. Says the Gemara of Chanina ben Doisa, he was traveling on the road. Shadra Mitra, Allah, suddenly it started raining on him. Omar, he said, Ribbono shel Olam, everybody is happy, all the farmers. Chanina ben Tzar, Chanina doesn't have any farms. He's in distress. Hashem, get me an umbrella, get me some boots. Pasak Mitra, suddenly stopped raining. Ki asol beisik, when he arrived home, now he felt bad. Omar, Ribbono shel Olam. Everybody's betzar for lack of rain. V'chanida banachas, and I'm enjoying it. That's not fair. Also, Mitra, suddenly began raining again. Amar Rav Yosef, Mayahanyale. Look how ineffective it was. The tzloise, the kain gadol, the tefillah of the kain gadol was ineffective. L'gabe Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, in relation to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's tefillah, his tefillah superseded the Kohen Gadol's tefillah. Tan Rabban, Ma'asa b'Kohen Gadol Echad. It was once a story with a Kohen Gadol. The Yerushalmi says it was Shimon HaTzadik actually. Sheherech b'tefillah asai. He prolonged in his tefillah. And the Yisraelim, the Kohanim waiting outside, were getting anxious. What's going on? Maybe he passed away in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'nimnu Echav HaKohanim Likonis Achrab. And his fellow Kohanim decided, okay, it's time to go find him. Hischilu heim nichnosen. So they began entering. And they meet him on the way out. Amrle said to him, what's going on? Why did you prolong your tefillah? Amrle says, look, what are you complaining about? Is it difficult in your eyes? What was I doing there? I was davening for you. Shouldn't be destroyed. Some say this was actually his last year, when he was met by the black clad covered Hashchina, which indicated something was amiss. So that year he spent extra time to daven. That's why I spent so long there. Omerle said to him still, Al tihi rogel asuskein, don't be accustomed to doing this. Shem shanina, we learned in a Mishnah. He wouldn't prolong the tefillah kadesh alayla haves as Yisrael. So not to frighten the Yisrael. So don't do it again. Continues the Mishnah. One more point regarding the Kohen Gadol and Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mishanitel Aron, you see, in the previous Mishnah we learned that he would arrive to the place of Bein HaBadim, and that's where he put the Ketores. That was when there was an Aron. Mishanitel Aron. But at that point in history, when the Aron had been removed from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the end of Bayis Rishon, there was no longer an Aron, Evan HaSham, rather there was a stone, the Evan HaShasiya, right there, right underneath where the urn would be, which was there from the time of the first Nevi'im, David Shmuel. Of course, it was there from time immemorial. The Mishnah simply means that they, the Nevi'im Rishonim, appreciated the Evan Shasiyah, they knew its significance, and they spread that knowledge to others. Perhaps it's also indicative of the fact that Nevuah would come through, would originate at that point. The Pasuk says that the Nevuah would come Me'al HaKapurus. So perhaps that's why we refer to the Eben Shasiyah in the context of Nevuah. Ushasiyah Sinikris, and it was called Eben Shasiyah. Gavai ben Oretz, Shalshad's voice. It was 3 finger widths off the ground. Voleoi Noisen, on which he would place the Keteris. Okay, now he's done with the Keteris, he's already out in the Heichel. Now it's time for the Hazoas Hadam. Now there were 3 phases to the Hazoas of the Dam. Of the Dama Par Kohen Gadol, and the Sur Lashem, the Sur Chatos, the other half of the Sur Lazazel. There were 3 stages. First one was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He would be Mazel the Dama Par first, and then the Dama Sur. That was the first stage. Then he would do another stage in the Heichel, on the Pareches, right opposite the Aron. So it was in the Heichel, opposite the Aron and Kodesh HaKadoshim. Again, Par, and then sir, and he would mix the both plus together and proceed to the third phase of Matan Dam, which was on Mizbeach HaPnim. So it's three steps: Kadosh HaKadoshim, Dam Par, Dam Sir, Heichal, Dam Par, Dam Sir, and over to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, both mixed together. Says the Mishnah. So now he's going to proceed with Matan Dam. Not alas Hadam, Mimisha Yemamarispe. You may remember that he already did the Shechita on the Par, Kohen Gadol, and there was a fellow who was now holding on to the Dam and mixing it to keep it liquidy, keep it from congealing. Once the Kohen Gadol was done with the Keteris, he went over to that fellow and he took the Dam, Mimisha Yemamarispe, from that fellow who was mixing it. Nichnas L'makam Shenichnas, he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the makam that he already entered for the Keteris, V'amad makam she'amad, and positioned himself in that same place where he had already stood, meaning right across from the Aron, between the poles, v'hiza mimenu, and he did hazah using the dam apar, achas lamala, one upward, v'sheva lamata, and seven times down. Lo yoyim miskaven lahazis. He had no specific intention of doing the hazah in a directed fashion. Lo lamala, not going up, lo lamata, not going down, meaning there's no point in getting the first hazah, the upper portion of the kapuris, the aron cover, and the next seven hazois on the lower portion of the kapuris, as she says, didn't even actually touch the kapuris. Elokim matzlif. It was like a person applying whipping. So the first one was on top, and then he would progress downward in a straight line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he would count as he was going along. Achas. The first hazah was called Achas. Then it was Achas ve'achas. Second hazah would be called Achas, that's the first one, ve'achas plus one. Next hazah was Achas ve'shtayim, 1 plus 2. Achas ve'shalosh, Achas ve'arba, Achas ve'chamish, Achas ve'sheish, until Achas ve'shev. Now he's completed the hazah of the dam, hapar. Yotze, he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ve'nichay, and he placed the container of the dam, al-kan hazah ve'shebeichel, on this golden base in the heichel. Now it was time to take care of the Sa'ir Lashem. Hebilus Hasur, they brought him the Sur, Shchata, he did Shchita, the Kibbo Mizrak as Dami, and he was Makabal Adam in a container. And once again, he enters Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nichnas, Lamakam Shenichnas, he entered the same place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Va'amad, Bimakam Shamad, and stood at that same location in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vizimimenu, he did the same thing with his Dam. Achas Lamala, one up, Vesheva Lamata, and seven down, Kacha Yemoina, Achas, Achas Ve'achas, Achas Ve'shtaim Bechulu. When he was done, Yotze went back out to the Heichel, V'nichoy al-Kanazov, Hashem Shebeichel. He placed the Damasar on the second golden base in the Heichel. So according to Tanakama, there were two bases upon which he would place both containers. One for the Par, one for the Sur. Now this would ensure he'll always be using his right hand. Right? So now when he's finished with his Sur, he placed it down on the empty, available Kan, and picked up the Dama Par with his right hand. Because if there's only one Kan, only one base, and he has to switch and replace, he's always concerned that he might actually use his left hand. For instance, he's leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Par Dama Sur, and the Kan is already occupied with Dama Par. Right? The Dama Sur is in his right hand, presumably. When he approaches the Dama Par, he'll remove it with his left hand and put down the Dama Sur. He might inadvertently continue walking with the Dama Par now in his left hand. Just halacha b'smal. The Tanakhama says make two separate ones to ensure that I always have an available right hand when picking up the dam. So once again, we had two bases, two kanim there. One already had the dam apar. Now he approached the second one, placed the dam asur, and picked up. Right, put down the dam asur with his right hand. Now his right hand was available. He picked up the dam apar and proceeded to the next phase of the hazah, which was on the pareches aneich. Rabbi Da'imer, lo yehoyeh shem alakan echad b'lvad. There was only one base. Rabbi Da holds, notwithstanding the right hand concern, there is another concern that perhaps he might confuse the two kalim of dam. If there are two separate bases, he might actually put this down and pick it up again, in which case he'll be taking the wrong dam. Make sure that everything is done properly. Have only one base, which will ensure that he'll have to keep on switching. And this will make sure, this will ensure that he has the right dam in his hand. Continues the Mishnah. Not al dam apar, v'niach dam asur. Okay, this is in line with Rabbi Yehuda. There was only one kan. Now he's back in the Heichel. He's holding the dam asur. So he has to make a switch. He has to replace the Dhammapara with the Dhammasara. He picks up the Dhammapara and puts down the Dhammasara. And he proceeds to the next phase of the Hazo, Vizim Menu, and he uses the Dhammapara to do Hazois, ala parechas, on the curtain, on the Hechel side of that curtain, separating the Hechel and Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shekineg the Oren Bachutz, on the outside of that curtain, opposite the Oren. Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata, one up, seven down, V'layim Meskavim, V'chulu, V'chachim, V'chachim, V'chulu. Now he proceeds to the next. The next stage, which was the Dhammasoir portion of the Hazoah Sahechel. So he goes back to the base, which now contains the Dhammasa Asoir, not a Dhammasoir. He removes the Dhammasoir, V'nech Dhammaparan, puts back the Dhammapar, and proceeds to the Parochas. V'yizim men al Parochas, Shnegin Oren Machutz. So he does the Hazoah on the Parochas. Shekineg the Oren Machutz, which means on the outside of the Parochas, on the Hechel side of the Parochas, right opposite the Oren. Achas Lamalav Shevet Lamata, one up and seven down. So now he's completed, totally completed the second phase of the Hazois. He did Parvisor in Kodesh HaKadoshim and Parvisor in the Hechel. Now the third phase. Iro Damapar Tzuch Damasor. He poured the Damapar into the Damasor. Damapar was much more, so it had extra weight and ensured that the bloods were just mixed together. V'nosan Esamolei Bereke. And then he went ahead and poured it back. Now he had a full cup of Damapar and Damasor combined. He poured it back into the empty one, which will ensure proper mixing. And then he proceeded to the Mizbeach to do Hazois. The Mishnah said, Mishenit al Oren, when the Oren was removed. Says the Gemara, Mishenignas Lektoni. Doesn't say it was hidden, concealed. El Mishenit was taken away. Tanan Kimanda Omar. This Mishnah supports the version of the Shita that says, Oren Golol Bavel. The Oren actually went into exile with Yisrael to Bavel. It wasn't hidden in a chamber underground, the Sanya. Rav Machlekes. Rav Lez Oymer, Oren Golol Bavel. The Oren went along to Bavel. Shenamar L'tshuvas Hashana, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, Vayvi Eyu Bavel. At the end of the year, Nebuchadnezzar brought Yoyachin, the king, he brought him to Bavel. Im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. The Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem, that's the Oren, which contains the Chemda of Hashem, the Luchas. So you see, the Oren went to Bavel. Rabbi Shimon ben Chaya Oymer, he also agrees. Oren Golol Bavel. Oren went with him to Bavel. Shenemar Lo Yivaser Dover Amar Hashem. Dover won't remain behind. What is that? Elu Aseres Hadibris Shaboy. That's the Oren containing the Aseres Hadibris. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. Oren Bimkoyme Nignas. It was hidden in its place, deep below the surface of a Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar Vayiro Rashi Abadim. These are the bottom of the Oren. Men HaKodesh HaPnei Advir. Velo Yiro HaChutzon. The pasuk concludes, Vayusham ad hayoyim hazeh, which indicates that they're still there. They're meant to remain in place up until and including today. So although not on top, but deep down below the Mokim Kodesh HaKadosh. Apparently he holds that the Mokim of the Oren, we know, is Edom and Amid. It's a miraculous phenomenon. The Oren wouldn't take up any floor space. So the entire concept of the Oren and the Mokim of Oren are like supernatural capsules of space within this world, and it's meant to remain there. It's not meant to be taken elsewhere. So although it wasn't sitting on the floor on top, but it was in that mokim, deep down below. On the other hand, Rav Leza holds, Klal Yisrael, who are the caretakers of the Torah, are so connected to the Oren and the Torah, wherever Yisrael go, the Oren goes along with them. Okay, time for a brief chazara. We learned that you're meant to insert the Mala Oshin ingredient into the Keteris to enable the formation of that anon, that mushroom cloud, which rises up to the ceiling and makes its way back down. If that mala oshan was omitted from the keteris, it's considered keteris which is missing, keteris chasera, on which is a chi of misa. You're meant to prepare the keteris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in line with Shitas Chacham, as opposed to the tzedukim. When he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're meant to leave derech kaved, sideways, backwards, likewise leaving a Rebbe. Likewise, the end of Shemoneh Esrei, take three steps back and turn first to one's left, which corresponds to the Yemin of Shechina. We learned about the Kohen Gadol's Tefillah, which wasn't powerful enough to be effective against Rebbe Chanina Ben Doisa's Tefillah. We learned about the Hazoas Dam in Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Hechel, Par Sor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then Par V'Sor in the Hechel. We had so far two Shitas as far as the urn, whether it was Gadol or Bavel, or Nignaz Bim Kaimai. Cultivate.